hockey.
Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Welcome into Judd's Hockey Show. A post-trade deadline, because it just passed National Hockey League trade deadline. Coming and going at 2 o'clock now. There could be some deals going in, because what often happens is there's deals put in queue at the last second. But as of right now, we're assuming that the Wild is done. It's Judd. It's AJ. What's going on, folks? Appreciate you if you're joining us on the live stream as well. And AJ, let's start off with the facts that we know, and that is that the Wild in the last 2 days has made two trades. Brandon Duhaime going to the Colorado Avalanche, who the Wild will actually face tonight, for a 2026 third-round draft pick. And then Pat Maroon coming off back surgery. He's still out. He's not set to return yet. 35 years old. He goes to Boston to be probably a fourth-line guy. The Wild gets back a 2026 conditional sixth-round pick. And the only way it's conditional, because that pick is only triggered if Pat Maroon plays in a playoff game, because remember, he's got the back problem. Mm-hmm. And they also get a minor leaguer forward, Luke Toporowski, I believe is the pronunciation. I'm sure that he will go to Iowa and we won't hear from him. And then there was a minor league trade made by the Wild with the Rangers. Nick Petan, who was up last season a couple times, goes to the Rangers for a 31-year-old center. Turner Elson, who has played for Colorado, Detroit, and the Rangers, more so in their organizations. I think he's played a total of 3 National League Hockey or National Hockey League games. All right, your thoughts on the Duhaime and Maroon trades, and overall what the Wild did or did not accomplish?
It's better than sitting on your hands, is what I'll say. I'm not necessarily thrilled. I'm also not necessarily let down. Wow. Wait, whoa. Did you see the Knights' latest move?
I just heard that there was something big. What is it?
They are looking. It sounds like they have acquired Thomas Hertl on a last second deal. No idea what the return is going the other way, but it sounds like Thomas Hertl acquired by the Vegas Golden Knights. So that's something there. Who needs draft picks when your playoff window and cup contention window is always open?
And Mark Stone gets hurt again, so he's not counting against the salary cap, but then he probably will return the playoffs when Eureka, he will. The craziest thing, I don't understand how this league justifies that the salary cap doesn't count at the most important time of the year. Thomas Hertl going, you're right here. I'm looking at it right now, going to the Vegas Golden Knights from the Sharks. Anyway, back to the Wild. Sorry.
Hey, back to the Wild. The biggest notable one here is the one that came back on the 7th, just a day ago. Brandon Duhaime heading to Colorado, the Wild's opponent this evening, for a 2026 third-round pick. And Judd, honestly, that seems about right in my book. When you look at it, too, I know some people saying, why 2026? Why would they ever agree to go that far down the road? Well, if you look at it here, prior to the trade, you're not getting really much more than a third. And I think that's because that's in division. That is the price that I think that Billy G was able to kind of get up to. And I commend him for that, for going to that with Colorado. Looking at the 2024 draft, though, for the Colorado Avalanche, they have a selection in the first round, nothing in rounds 2 and 3. And as we, as I just kind of said, in division, you're not going to go lower than a fourth there. So, you know, we're already past there. 2025. They don't own a pick now in the first 3 rounds, so you're not going to go past there. 2026, they own a first, they own a second, they had the third. That now belongs to the Wild, so that's why they had to go as far out as 2026 there. And for a guy like Brandon Duhaime, who frankly was probably going to walk at the end of the season regardless, that's a fantastic return. He's not going to benefit you right now, and we kind of discussed this. I think you made the point. Once some guys start coming back here and they start bringing in Kuznetsov, Adam Beckman is now up, you're going to have almost too many cooks in the kitchen. They're not necessarily 5-star chefs, Michelin-grade chefs, but they're cooks nonetheless. So you have to get some bodies out the door, and to get a value for that, like a third-round pick, I'll absolutely take that, because, you know, that could be something where down the road, maybe that's a throw-in piece. Think about a few drafts ago. A third-rounder was what was needed for them to move up a handful of spots to go ahead and acquire Jesper Wallstedt. So that's if Brandon Duhaime leaving this early allows them potentially here coming up in the late spring, early summertime to move up from wherever they are, a couple draft picks to take a guy that they are very much set on or something along those lines, then absolutely. A third round pick is good. And when it comes to the other moves, they don't really move the needle for me, and I don't think they're necessarily supposed to. Turner Ellison coming back in exchange for Nicholas Baton, that's a minor league deal. Iowa needs numbers, so why not? And then Patrick Maroon going to Boston. From my understanding, he's about 2 to 3 weeks away from returning to skating action after his injury. So getting back a conditional sixth-round pick there. And then Luke Toporowski. I'm not sure exactly how you do say that, but it's too many guys. You don't want to have too many bodies just lying around here. So if you can get really anything for him, that's just fine with me. And I think Patrick Maroon, if he's healthy enough, actually does probably play a playoff game with the Boston Bruins, because I think he fits in to their play style. Like, he's a tough
fourth line guy.
He's a fourth line guy.
Guys get hurt,
and he's big and tough. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in a game. So,
yeah, yep. And guys, you're gonna have, the way the playoffs go, your bottom six guys, you're gonna have a wing get hurt. Maroon can replace him. Yeah, Jordan is right here. So Duhaime was not going to return. He was not going. Well, actually, he would have returned. The Wild was not going to re-sign him. But what I will say about that trade is, while I agree with making a trade, and especially if the guy was going to walk, I wonder if the feeling was he was going to walk if they didn't have all of these other no trade clauses, right? We've talked about this a lot. But I mean, Ryan Hartman would have been a really nice piece to take to market. You couldn't do that. Marcus Johansson, who's hurt now, but he would have been a piece to take to market. He wouldn't have got you a ton. Brandon Duhaime, if all was equal here and you didn't have all of these no move, no trade clauses, Brandon Duhaime, I would have liked to have kept and signed, because I like how he plays. And there's a lot of guys that I would prefer were gone before him. Unfortunately, with what Bill Guerin orchestrated, he basically had no choice but to move Duhaime because of, as we just discussed, you got guys coming up. And furthermore, you've got guys that can't be moved. You can't move so many guys, and that's a problem.
Not to cut you off here, Michael Russo of The Athletic is reporting that the Wild have also traded Connor Dewar in advance of the deadline.
So they did trade.
So Dewey 1 and 2 is now Dewey 0. I'm not exactly sure where he is going here, but as Tyler is saying, Connor Dewar is out the door with the Minnesota Wild.
And that's another, you know what? That's one that was done by 2 o'clock Central, but stuck in queue there. So it's going to get approved. This was what was reported for the last week, right? That both of those guys were likely going to be gone, that it would probably be Duhaime, Dewar, Maroon, all traded. So do we know where he was traded to?
Not yet. Not that I know.
We just know he's been traded.
If you care, though, about that, circling back to that Vegas one, this is probably like the biggest move that you've seen today. Two firsts heading back to the Sharks with heavy salary retention. Not sure how that works for six more years, but two firsts and heavy salary retention for Thomas Hertl going to the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll kind of keep an eye on the Twitter machine here and see if we can get a destination for Connor Dewar. But I like that they're moving guys out.
I like that they're making moves. I wish certainly that they probably could have made moves involving more veterans. I was hoping going into today, because there were rumblings about it, that Gustafson might be moved. He was not moved, or has not been moved, as far as we know at this point. I thought that was if you could trade him. Now, New Jersey made a very weird trade, because the Devils, you know, fired Ruff. They're in all types of trouble now as far as a playoff run goes. And now is the time, instead of a month ago or so, that they decided to trade for Jake Allen. And all season long, we basically talked about the Achilles heel of the Jersey Devils was goaltending. So I'm curious if they came close to, or they got calls and his play has dropped off. So the fact is they might not have age, but on Gustafson, he was the one guy I would have liked to seen included today. But yeah, I give him credit for moving the guys that they were shopping. I also don't want to give them too much credit, because it's a shame they couldn't shop guys that they probably should have. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how, for the long term, keeping all of the guys that they have to keep helps you.
Yeah, and that's where I think it's, you can grade this trade deadline in like one of two ways, which is one, based on the situation now, the past week or so, you look at, and it comes off maybe a little more positive than negative, because given their situation, yes, they're a little handcuffed. They move guys that they were able to. As you kind of mentioned, I kind of was waiting for, and maybe not holding my breath waiting for it, but waiting for the leak of, oh, somebody with a no move or a no trade has waived that, and now they're going to open somebody up. But the other way to grade this is, you go back to this past offseason, a handful of these no move and no trades were not in the mix. They were just not in the equation, so you have to factor those in, and now that shifts it, for me at least, more negative, because you've really, you handcuff yourself. You're handcuffed in that first scenario. You put the handcuffs on in this second scenario. You know, you willingly made yourself have such a weird perspective on how to attack this, where you just don't have the guys able to move as much as you probably would want to. So it probably comes off a little more negative in that sense, in my mind, when you look at and include this past off season and some of those extensions.
Absolutely, because you could have moved guys. There's no, and you didn't have to. Not only did you not have to extend them, but you did not have to give them protection against trades. And yes, this comment here, at least Garen did not buy. Now, this is the question, all right? So you've now won back-to-back games against awful teams. I mean, the Sharks and Coyotes are complete jokes, okay? You're at 66 points in front of you, but out of the playoffs, and the Wild plays tonight, but keep in mind, they've got the Avs, who are going to debut a bunch of guys, including Duhame. Calgary, Seattle, and St. Louis all have 67 points. The Wild has 66 points, and just for a point of reference, St. Louis and the Wild have both played 63 games. Calgary and Seattle have played 62. Now we get to the playoff teams, and the playoff teams are the Predators, 64 games, 75 points. Vegas, which made the trade that you just talked about, has 73 points in 63 games. They've lost four straight. They're playing terrible now. And nonetheless, so you are now 9 points behind Wild Card 1, which is the Predators. And you are, what, 7 points behind the Golden Knights. And I don't think a thing has changed, which is why I wouldn't have minded being a little bit more aggressive in shopping guys who could be moved. Now, perhaps they did, and the prices were low. It's interesting. Did you see how little Matt Dumba and Jason Zucker got back?
I didn't see the Dumba return. I saw Zucker was like a sixth rounder. Also,
it was a sixth rounder from the Predators. And the Dumba trade was, I think, a fifth round pick. And if I'm not mistaken, Phoenix had to send a seventh round pick with him to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And that's crazy how I feel like other years, those guys, even like if it's this state of them, garner at least, you know, maybe a fourth. But, and we're seeing this in the chat, and it's being first reported by Chris Johnston here on TSN along with The Athletic. But Connor Dewar on his way to Toronto with the Maple Leafs.
That poor guy. Brad Tree Living is about to get lit up. He didn't do nearly enough. And Toronto fans. So Toronto in the media in Canada is the equivalent of the Yankees, the Lakers, or Dallas Cowboys here. And so Toronto fans and Toronto media are pissed off. And poor Connor Dewar is about to go into a hornet's nest because he ain't ready for this.
No.
So poor guy. Did we see what the return is from Chris, or does he not have that?
No. Trade call, I guess, has not officially happened yet. So we don't know the exact one, but it's like they're in the waiting queue to officially put the ticket in.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, so perhaps the Wild did try to shop guys and didn't get enough. I will say this about their players. It's not like they could take a bunch of really good players to market, because you're not going to trade Kaprizov. You're not going to trade Boldy. No. So there was a very limited amount of guys that you could shop. And the guys that you should have shopped, because they wouldn't have term left, you signed. So I think Bill Guerin dug himself a pretty big hole here for, and he obviously didn't know this at the time, but for what the predicament ended up being, AJ.
Yeah. And maybe in, you talk about Brad Tree Living here, you're seeing the Bruins and the Kings having a reported deal for Linus Ullmark, where it just didn't get across the finish line because of like location for him.
Kevin Weeks talked about this on The Point on their Deadline show, but he didn't say the Kings. He said there was a Linus Ullmark trade that the player vetoed because of that. So it must have been the Kings.
What do you
mean?
Which
is interesting because the Bruins have that goaltending tandem, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like those guys hug it out. it's interesting that they were going to make that trade. I'm not sure I get that.
What do you make of Hugh Yang's comment here? He gives up on hockey. He quits hockey because of what Billy has installed here in Minnesota. Are you at the tipping point here, or walk Mr. Yang off the ledge here?
Oh boy, Mr. Yang, I would say this. I am also disappointed with how things have gone, and I'm disappointed with the fact that these contracts and how they were structured were doled out. But I'm one that keeps saying I think the future's bright if they do this right. Now if you're gonna hold on to veterans, like Billy signs guys and brings in guys that are final pieces to like put on the fourth line of a Stanley Cup team, they extended Bogosian. I don't know that you needed to do that, and I know it's a reasonable contract, and I know he scored last night, but I don't know it was necessary. I guess I don't understand why there's not more wait and see here. Like, yeah, the Bogosian, but I mean, the Zach Bogosians of the world are a dime a dozen in this league, dude. They're bouncing around every single day. You don't need to extend them. You don't need to. And Billy's been on Stanley Cup champions before. He's been around Pittsburgh when they won two. I don't know that I necessarily, I feel like he does things a little bit too much like a player would. And he doesn't have that out of his system completely, because as a manager, I mean, Bogosian, the only guy that I'll go to bat for him as far as the extensions, okay, AJ?
Yeah.
Is Foligno. I like Foligno. Now, would I give him a no trade? No. But I would have extended him because he's a heart and soul guy. I think he is when healthy, and that's a very fair thing to say. I think he contributes. I know he's not the guy he was a couple of years ago when his shooting percentage was through the roof. But, you know, as far as Hartman goes, get out. No. As far as Johansson goes, what are you, crazy? But I would not give up yet, because I will say this. There's a fighting chance that in a couple of years, coming out of cap hell, this team could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And back to your
point. I would not quit.
No, definitely not quit. And back to your point about the Bogosian extension, it's a fine term. The value's fine there as well. Yeah. But this is something you and I discussed, I want to say, the other day after, was it the Monday night game? Maybe, I forget which one it was, but to me, this opened up the door for a Jake Middleton exit before the deadline. And I, not that they necessarily needed to.
Loves him though. Yep.
And they love him there. And I think he is a very good defenseman. The acquisition of him has been a lights out trade for the Wild, and he's been fantastic on the top pairing. Mostly with Spurgeon up until that injury, now with Faber most of the time. But I just don't see the path to have him re-signed here at a solid value after he is turning 30 now after next season. So the value would have been, I think, higher than ever. And maybe this is where I'm wrong, because we just talked 10 minutes ago about the value that Jason Zucker returned, Matt Dumba returned.
That's what I was going to say.
So maybe that's
what if they shopped him? And they didn't get what they wanted.
So, and that what I would understand. And that's where we may never know, because some of this stuff just never gets leaked. You're never going to have that type of answer where, you know, you talk about a guy that you do adore and a lot of fans adore, saying, hey, we took some calls on him, we just didn't get the value, because Jake Middleton's name, frankly, really hasn't been out there at all. So you're not going to stir the pot if there is nothing to stir. So, but, you know, it feels like if there was going to be a time to get decent value for a guy like him, I think it would have been this year, but with the market apparently being down and just being a weird trade deadline all around, I guess there's not much maybe you could do.
But what you're saying, where it makes sense, is, and we talked about this, I think, a couple of days ago, AJ, where the Middleton idea at least made sense, was he's nearing 30. Mm-hmm. His contract's going to be up, I think, after the 25-20, or after next season.
After next season, correct.
So, like, here's my question. Do you want to sign him at that age long term? Because if he's going to walk out the door, then I would have maximized him right now. So, like, it's it because I think at first, I think what you get is a lot of fans who are like, you can't trade him. It's one of your best defensemen. Well, that's true. But number one, you aren't in a window right this second where he's maximizing. It's not like, oh, my God, they traded Jake Middleton. Now they might not make the playoffs. They shouldn't be a playoff team. We've talked about that 1,000 times. The Gustafson thing, because I saw an immediate comment, you can't trade him. The Gustafson thing that got me was there was no big hurry to sign him to, if I'm not mistaken, last summer, a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
Like, goaltending is, it fluctuates. I mean, Declan talks about that continually, and he's 1,000% right. You know, other than a very small list of goaltenders, there's a lot of fluctuation there. You could have just said, well, you know what? Gus, great season. Let's wait and see. And if you turn out to be Ken Dryden, we'll sign you. But if you don't, we got a guy coming up from the minors that we drafted in the first round. And by God, he's got to play next season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, is don't think about this in the vacuum of the current season and what are these. Think of it as far as the roster construction and the long term. So, like, next year, for instance, if you traded Gus, okay, and let's say Fleury says, you know, I'd like to come back. And you're not going to tell him, oh, no, you know, he's the type of guy who I think, again, if you get the right goaltender in front of him, Gus has not been this, Fleury can be a backup. So if it's going to be Volstadt and Fleury and you can get something for Gus, go for it. I feel like there's this, you can't trade this guy and you can't trade that guy and you can't trade this guy. But then fans get upset about the no trade protection. It's like, you can't have it both ways. And this team right now is in a 2-year period of where I think you can dump guys. And that's where I thought Gus easily could have been traded. And again, maybe they shopped him and they were told, we'll give you nothing more than a fourth rounder, in which case you'd say, okay, then we're not going to trade him. But as the comment that you had on the screen for quite some time said, it's not that Bill Guerin didn't do a good job at the deadline. Like, that's not the problem. The problem is that the work he did in the summer locked him in and forced his hand to make moves of probably trade guys. There it is from Kirby. Forced his hand to trade guys that probably wouldn't have been your first guy to trade, because ideally the veterans would have gone. And I just don't, I understand the veteran presence. I get that. And in some cases I value it. I don't think it has to be everyone you like. It doesn't have to be. Look, if you hadn't signed Freddie Goudreau to a 5-year contract, he'd probably be a candidate to be dumped this offseason.
Yeah.
Dumped.
It's so crazy, and I think that goes to your point about the goaltending too, which is, think about how many guys in this league are goaltending, that are like elite goaltenders that deserve those type of long-term deals. Like, it's such a far and few between, because there's a very, very limited number of, this is a franchise goaltender, this guy is going to win you games, this is a guy that deserves a high cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, though, it's just a carousel where you get a guy for a year or two, maybe he performs with you, maybe he doesn't, the change of scenery helps, and then, hey, we're on to the next one. We get a guy, hey, glad to have you here, a couple great shutouts, you did fantastic. Oh, all of a sudden it tailed off at the end. All right, hey, have fun wherever you go next. It's just the summer kind of handcuffed you, and that's going to frustrate me, because there was a different reality where those no move clauses aren't put into place, and the Wild just cleaned house, and you know, all is right with the world.
Well, yeah, and it's not even like you, because you've got guys coming that I think the fan base and the organization is excited about. It's not like you would be, you know, dumping guys who it's like, I can't, this is terrible. MPH, goaltenders, plural, equal running backs. That's exactly right. That's 100% right.
Darren Dreger, a fourth rounder in 2026 to the Wild from the Leafs for Connor Dewar.
Ah, got the war chest built up. 2026 is going to be plentiful.
That's the Wild's
plentiful
year.
For draft picks. Now, Dewar, if I'm not mistaken, because Brendan Duhaime was scheduled to be unrestricted, if I'm not mistaken, Dewar was going to be or is going to be a restricted free agent. So yes, they could have kept him. Again, they probably have options that they like more. They are accruing picks that I think it was pointed out on the chat early in the show that can be now packaged and moved probably in this draft. You know, you could send a 2026 third rounder to do this and mm-hmm. that. And you talked about that as well. Let's talk about some of the big trades. Jake Guentzel to Carolina. As you just said, the big one to end the day, Thomas Hurdle goes from the Sharks.
And it sounds like they threw two third rounders in there as well.
It's unbelievable. To the Golden Knights, who have no conscience, but they've got a Stanley Cup, so who gives a damn, right?
Exactly.
Like you talk about Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, the Vikings GM a couple of years back, saying going full Rams. Going full Rams is nothing compared to going full Knights. The Knights are just drunken sailors. They're just like, okay, we'll do this, we'll do that. So I saw there was a trade between the Devils and the Jets. Tyler Toffoli goes to the Jets. This is the other thing, too, for anyone, and I'm confident that most of our audience out there is not thinking this way, but for anyone who's saying, well, just make the tournament, you never know. So, okay, with the moves made today and the last 3 days in the Western Conference, for instance, you really think it's just make the tournament? I mean, the Jets have loaded up, which is, you know, the Golden Knights, who are playing awful hockey in about their last 12 games, clearly said screw it, and I don't blame them. And when they get to the playoffs, they're going to get guys back. And again, there's going to be no salary cap. So, like, this is why the whole thing of, well, you just get to the tournament and you never know. Okay, that has happened. But remember, some of those teams are constructed. The other thing, too, is in the Eastern Conference last year, Florida made it on the last day of the regular season into the playoffs. But remember, that Florida team was loaded, and they had an incredibly disappointing season. And then they got their act together. The Wild's not loaded. Like, this is not they've been underachieving the whole time. Have they been disappointments? Absolutely. But you don't look at them and say, you know what's really going to change, AJ? When the Minnesota Wild gets in the playoffs, there's going to be a deep run here. I keep saying this. You just hope, you just say, my God, you know what? Don't get enough points to get close. Because when you play the Sharks and you play the Coyotes, it becomes very frightening that you win games. Thankfully, the Predators can't lose these days.
Brandon Crow, welcome to the stream. Welcome to the show. A Leafs fan, he wants to know, what are the Leafs getting in Connor Dewar?
Fourth line, gritty guy. I think your guy, Tre Living, likes bigger guys and gritty guys. Connor's not bigger, he's gritty. So I think you're getting a guy that definitely can operate on the PK. But unfortunately, Brandon, what you didn't get was enough talent to help in aiding your team in the playoffs, because the Leafs playoff path is going to be a gauntlet. So I'm guessing that that GM Brad Tre Living is getting a lot of guff there right now, and it's deserved. Dewar works hard. Again, he'll kill penalties. He's a bottom six guy. He's a fourth line guy. But don't expect a lot. Don't expect a ton.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see him on the penalty kill, and you're going to think, wow, what an effort. Wow, he laid down.
Works his ass off.
He does, and that's the thing. Like, he will sacrifice the body for whatever logo's on the front of his jersey. So if there's a gargantuan slap shot, he's going to act like the net is the president and dive in front of it. So I'll give him credit there. But, yeah, it's not the move I think maybe a lot of Toronto fans were yearning for, because he just doesn't bring that that talent aspect.
They wanted impact moves. Yes. They wanted Toffoli. They wanted an impact move. The Leafs did not come anywhere close to that. For those who are asking about Middleton being scratched, he was scratched last night, and he might be scratched again tonight, but he is legit hurt. So he has an injury. I don't know the timetable. This being the National Hockey League, which encourages betting at every turn, won't tell you what's wrong with guys. So we don't know. But yeah, this is not a trade thing. In fact, Tony Big Ticket KG, upper body injury that sidelined him for last night's game and probably tonight's game. Also, unfortunately, no Zach Parise, because he got hurt when Colorado beat up on Detroit a couple of nights ago. So he's scratched. I guess he is day to day. The only disappointing thing there was I was really looking forward to Parise playing his old team, and Parise seeing that Adam Beckman is wearing number 11. Adam Beckman, all due respect to you, they didn't issue 11 or 20 until this year. Patty Maroon had 20. He's now out the door. No Parisi. I believe Colorado debuts tonight are going to be Duhaim. Sean Walker is going to play. Casey Mittelstadt obtaining a significant trade with Buffalo a couple days ago for Bo Byram. He's going to center, I think, the second line. So it's going to be a new look Avs, which will be interesting to watch, but that is one talented team.
And I know Brandon Duhaim hasn't scored in like 40 something games. If I was a betting man, Judd, I would bet you could tally one on his score sheet tonight.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, it's weird he didn't score more because he played a style where you would have thought he would have just accidentally scored some goals.
He just gets the net so hard.
That's what I'm saying.
Like luck into one at some point, like force one in.
Yeah, like just a garbage goal. I'm not trying to say that like his shot would have or should have scored, but you're right. Like the guy worked his butt off, drove to the net. It's weird he didn't just score by accident on occasion. So again, Pat Maroon to Boston for a minor league player and a conditional 2026 sixth round pick that is going that will only trigger if Maroon plays at least one playoff game for the Bees. We also had Duhaim to Colorado for a 2026 third round pick. Nick Batan in a minor league deal to the Rangers for Turner Ellison, a center who is 31, and then Dewar to Toronto for a 2026 fourth round pick. Is that correct?
Yes, that sounds like what is.
What else you got?
Well, you might have a little more of a work day after this one because the Vikings have agreed to a deal with tight end Johnny Munt.
Oh, Johnny, my favorite.
There you go.
Johnny Munt is a Kevin O'Connell and Judd Zolgad favorite. I told these guys 2 years ago, Johnny Munt's first OTA practices with the Vikings. I said, this is a sneaky guy because he knows what he's doing because he knows the system and O'Connell likes him. My guess is Johnny Munt's next job, Kevin O'Connell's coaching staff. That's my guess. But that will not cause my workday to be prolonged. I can assure you of that right now. So as far as these trades go, in the last 3 days, are there any that significantly stand out to you or that you like a lot? Like with Gensel, Opozo, the former golfer, goes from Buffalo to Florida. Ben Myers, who could have signed with the Wild and probably would have had a chance, but he signed with the Avs, so he never had a chance to play. Traded for a draft pick to the Ducks. Zucker to Nashville. Dumba again to Tampa. Some significant trades made. What stands out to you?
The one that I think stands out, I'll give you three here really quick. One,
cool.
Anthony Duclair now has played for 8 teams in the past 12 years. Good luck with that trivia question. Whenever you go to, he goes to Tampa Bay in exchange for Jack Thompson and a 2024 third round pick going back to the Sharks. My favorite one of the past few days here, and mainly, I can't even find it, but it's the Jets acquiring Tyler Toffoli. If you go back to myself, Jesse, and Declan did a preseason show for the Wild, and I said I was adamant that the Jets would be a much better team because they were committing to Scheifele, they were committing they were committing to being a better franchise, and despite the lack of attendance, they look like they might even win the division here, and I think they are so stingy defensively that this addition maybe adds offensively enough to have them like just be a frustrating team that they might beat you 2-1, 1-0, but they're going to be a team that's, here we go. A third round pick, a second round pick in exchange for Tyler Toffoli with,
I like that trade.
50% of that being retained by the Devils. That is probably my favorite one that I think flies under the radar a little bit is longtime captain, and Minnesota Golden Gopher own Kyle Opposo is on his way out of Buffalo and he is heading to Florida in exchange for Cali Shalen and a 7th round pick going back to Buffalo. That pick upgrades to a 5th rounder if Florida wins the Stanley Cup, but Opposo going down there to play with Barkov, and Barkov is just an animal in himself. Florida maybe isn't the powerhouse that we expected. because I know they're pretty damn good. But I expect them to be maybe a slight level above where they are because they're very, very good. But this is, I think, going to be a sneaky good move just because he adds that veteran presence. And this is a guy that I think maybe is opinion. I'm opinionated in this. I think he deserves a shot to like go and get one out of some guys that have been in the league for a while. He seems like a guy that has the work ethic and he deserves to go get a shot. And I think the Panthers giving him that and he's going to pay it back. So
I think the stat I heard is Kalapozo hasn't played in the postseason in 8 years. And he didn't play in the playoffs the entire time in Buffalo 8 years ago as an Islander.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's good. The one that stood out to me that I love is the Jake Guentzel trade from Pittsburgh to Carolina because it cost a ton. But Guentzel is like Carolina is a good team. And this to me is a chips all in move. And the timing is right here. And he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after the season. So he might leave. But that being said, I mean, he's clutch. I saw a stat. He is one of the most, as far as points per game, clutch playoff players. Like he is, I think he's tied with McDavid as far as points per game in the playoffs. It's absolutely crazy. So I love that trade.
And he comes out of the best conference in college hockey. NCHC out of Nebraska.
It's a hell of a conference. The Big Ten's improved, but I think it's great.
Yeah.
The one thing to keep an eye on, though, this summer now that this is sort of setting up this way is Sidney Crosby. Yeah. Because I don't know if you saw the post game. They traded Guentzel last night, and then they got beat 6-0 by the Capitals. And it ain't like the Capitals are world beaters.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked to Sid post game and he was despondent. Like he's usually never despondent and he was despondent. And I just don't see a path there where unless he's a glutton for punishment, where he stays. And you might say, well, that's crazy. He's a lifetime Penguin.
Yeah.
Okay. Wayne Gretzky got traded. Like Sidney Crosby. We talked about this with Fleury. Sidney Crosby deserves the exact same thing. Yes. Like if he wants to go out a winner, and I don't think it's in Pittsburgh because they have, you know, they got some nice pieces for Guentzel, AJ, but they've got nothing to go on. They've got Malkin still. They've got Letang still. They made that trade for Erik Karlsson. These are all old men.
Yeah.
So I think it could get very interesting because when Kyle Dubas, who's the new GM in Pittsburgh, talks to Sid, I think there's a chance Sid might say, I'd like to finish my career with a chance to win a cup. And I can't blame him one bit.
Yeah, I don't blame him either. And that's like that Pittsburgh team now has been a powerhouse for so long. Malkin, I would say Malkin probably deserves that same treatment too. Where,
oh yeah.
If as soon as he says,
hey, so or Letang.
Yeah. And Letang, like their pinnacle pieces deserve to go somewhere if they want to. And unfortunately for Dubas, I don't think he's going to have a say too much in getting a proper return, even like you're going to see, you know, pennies on the dollar.
Oh, you're not going to break the bank.
No,
now.
No, not
like I think
means.
Sid would get you. Sid's kept himself. I mean, he's having another great year and keeps himself in phenomenal shape. So I think Sid would, but yeah, as far as like Gino, I don't think you're going to break the bank.
No.
And yes, GA007 Crosby might be too loyal unless they trade Letang and Malkin. But that's what I'm saying is there has to be a sit down here. But Sidney Crosby, he can be as loyal as he wants. If he wants a cup and he's what? I think he's 36 now. If he wants a cup, it ain't going to be there. They're not going to turn this thing around. I saw a comment, Mike Owen here, Age, you can see it says Spurgeon should be moved on July 1st. Well, first of all, guess what? He's got no trade protection. And second of all, he's coming off what, hip and back surgeries? I don't think you can move him.
Good luck.
I mean, if I'm a team, one, I want to see him play. Two, he's got to approve a trade. I don't think he's going to. Like this is again, like being the salary cap thing is one thing because I will agree with the decision to get rid of Parise and Suter. And you knew when they did that it was going to cause some problems. In fact, quite frankly, I'm surprised that the last 2 years points production wise went as smoothly as it did, AJ. But what I'm stuck on is today is not the end of veterans being given no trade protection. today's not the last day that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem this summer too. You're going to be stuck.
This is interesting to me, and this might be wrong. I adore cap friendly and I spend too much time on it, but according to them, as of July 1st, 2024, Jared Spurgeon has a 10-team no trade list. So,
instead of a full,
it's a no move clause. That's a 10-team list, which that does help, but you'd have to imagine that upon revisions, he could probably just, you know.
Well, who's going to give you much for a guy like he's a smaller veteran.
He's making $7.5 million.
Yeah. He's not like I would need to see him play.
Yes.
Because Bill Guerin's not going to trade. If he could trade Spurgeon, let's just go down this hypothetical path. Mm-hmm. If he could trade him, he's going to be looking for a lot back. If you're a team taking Spurgeon in July, you ain't giving him a thing back beyond like a prospect until you know that he can play. I'm sorry, but when we start to talk about guys that age with hip problems, and it might be totally fixed, but I got to see that. So one is we have no reason to think that he would chop him. But if he did, which is a fun talker, I think any team would say, we got to wait and see here. So, and yes, Tyler, who says, no matter how injury prone he is, I will always love Jared Spurgeon. Absolutely. He's given this team a lot. That ain't the point. The point is, how do you get to a place where after next season, you hit the ground running, and having a bunch of geriatrics on your roster ain't the way to do it.
So, Judd, quickly, just to recap, here is the outgoings for the Wild. Brandon Duhame, Patrick Maroon, and Connor Dewar. In exchange, they've acquired a 2026 third-round and fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick in 2026, plus forward Luke Taporowski. This upcoming draft, they have a first-round, second-round, fourth-round, two-fifth, and a sixth-round pick. And then now, as things are kind of trickling in here, they will have first, second, third. Toronto's fourth rounder in 2025. That doesn't sound correct. I believe that was added incorrectly. That should be in 2026. And then, 2026 is looking like they're going to pick multiple times in each round.
I bet they trade picks at this draft. I bet they trade some of those picks to move around or something.
For the sake of fun here, before we probably wrap up, you want to do a quick tankathon draft lottery sim to see where the Wild end up?
Definitely.
Right now they're in the ninth spot, and as I click this lottery simulation, they actually move down two spots after Pittsburgh jumps up to second overall, and Calgary leaps 10 spots to move into fourth.
What? Calgary's above them in the standings by a point right now.
And that's the beautiful thing of the lottery. You never know what's going to happen. Chicago picks first overall.
Of course they do.
And in that 11th spot,
Macklin, Celebrini oh my God.
Projected at 11th overall, Zane Parrick, right defenseman out of Saginaw, the Spirit in the OHL, who frankly is not that bad of a talent. So that wouldn't be the worst thing ever. But, it seems like we kind of know the destination for this team is going to be outside of that top five, more likely around 10 to 12 in the drafting, if things persist.
And the thing is, they play so many crappy teams, they're going to get enough points to miss the playoffs, but they're going to get close enough where it's going to cost them draft position.
And last night,
this is the 2023 Vikings all over again.
I'm watching that game last night, and I'm like, you know what? If you're going to win, sure, but you at least got to go to overtime. Give a point to to the Coyotes. Make Arizona take a point. And they give up the lead. Two goals in, 40 seconds or whatever?
Well,
nope, we're going to surge back.
I was driving home. The Yotes scored two quick goals, and I'm like, oh, that's too early. And as soon as I was like all excited by the Yotes scoring, of course, Bogosian comes back and scores his second goal.
Yeah.
The guy's taken more slap shots than any human being I've seen in my life, and yet he had to score from in close. And then, that's the problem is they're going to get enough. They're going to get too many points because their competition's so bad. But they also, like tonight, they got Colorado. Sunday, Nashville. Can they beat them? Obviously they can, but still. And just please, please no, like, late playoff run. Unless it's unless it's the Russian kid. If the Russian kid comes here, AJ, and he is unbelievable, then you know what? It's on. But I don't have a lot of faith in that. And sounds like he's going to be here this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like his meeting at the consulate is very near. So we'll have to see when he actually touches down in Minnesota. You'd expect sometime this weekend or early next week.
All right, sir. Great stuff. Thanks to all of those of you who joined us for a live Judd's Hockey Show reaction to the Wild trade deadline. In short, Dewey 1 and Dewey 2. It's been fun, but you got to go. We'll see you later. I'm Judd, and he's AJ.